God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." From Genesis, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our first lesson today, in the aftermath of the great flood that literally wiped out all of humanity, save Noah and his family, we see the covenant that God makes with all of living creation, man and beast alike. Now, when considered with the other lessons today, it is obvious that the purpose is to connect what Noah experienced in the ark and the covenant that followed with baptism and the new covenant. Paul explicitly states that the former is a prefiguring of the latter. And in fact, that is where we will get to today. But before then, I want to examine this Noahic covenant a bit more closely to understand how that these two are related, these two things, the ark and baptism. So first, it is important to understand why God makes this original covenant with Noah. Well, why did he send the flood? He sent the flood because of the wickedness of mankind. He looked out on everything that he saw and decided it was just time to shake the Etch-a-Sketch. He just needed to start all over. Because as soon as Adam and Eve decided to do that which they ought not to have done, things just kept getting worse, and pretty quickly at that. We go immediately from the eating of a piece of fruit which was forbidden to the next recorded sin in the Bible being murder, as brother kills brother. God saw that every intention of the heart of man was only evil continually. He had to do something to fix what had gone wrong, and decided to just blot out mankind from the face of the earth. Except for one guy and his family. We aren't told how, but somehow Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord, and in him, God found a way to make that new start, to preserve his creation and maintain a remnant from which he would rebuild. So we get the flood and the salvation of mankind and all the animals through the ark. And then God decides to make his covenant with Noah because here's the thing. Sending the flood and saving only Noah and his family didn't actually fix the problem. It rebooted the system, but the problem wasn't in the software that was running. The problem was in the hardware itself. I mean, just look, in the very next chapter we find ourselves at the Tower of Babel. Nothing got better. The covenant was needed because the same problem that brought about the flood in the first place was going to happen again. And God needed his people to know that in the future, he had a far better solution. So next, let's look at what made God's covenant with Noah unique. There are two characteristics that set this covenant apart from the other covenants of the Old Testament. First, is that this covenant is universal. It is not made with a particular group of people, but with all of mankind. The other covenants, with Abraham, Moses, and David, were between God and Israel. They were the people that God had chosen for a special relationships, and his dealings in the Old Testament were primarily with them. The other unique aspect of the Noahic covenant is that it is unconditional. Each of the other covenant relationships in the Old Testament were subject to various conditions, such as circumcision and obedience to the law. God gives Noah no such conditions. There is simply the promise. Now we can look at sort of the similarities between these two covenants. Now, by my estimation, these aspects that are unique to the covenant God makes with Noah are also present in the new covenant in Christ. The most obvious is the universality of the new covenant in Jesus. Jesus died for all of mankind, not just a particular family or tribe or nation, but for everyone. His work of atonement on the cross is great enough to cover all of humanity, and salvation is available to all. The next shared similarity is a bit trickier, and maybe I'm playing a bit fast and loose, but hear me out. The new covenant is unconditional. But wait, you say? There are plenty of conditions included in the new covenant. What about faith? That's a condition. Well, actually, faith is a precursor to our covenant relationship in Christ. It is what leads us to desire to become a part of the family of God in baptism. Either your own faith or the faith of your parents and godparents who chose to have you baptized. In many cases, this goes on for generations. But still, faith came first. Faith came before. Oh, wait a second. But you just mentioned baptism. Wouldn't that be considered a condition? Baptism by water and the Holy Spirit, as commanded in Scripture, is certainly the ordinary means by which we enter into the covenant. But in my mind, at least, there is a difference between entering into a covenant and maintaining said covenant. And so I wouldn't say that baptism is a proper condition. I mean, if we're looking at the flood as a prefiguring of baptism, you wouldn't say that surviving the flood was a condition of God's covenant with Noah. It was simply how he got there. So what about obedience? That was a big condition for these Old Testament covenants. And aren't we called to be obedient? Yes, it is true that we are expected to be obedient. But if obedience were a condition of this covenant, we would all be out. There was a reason we needed a new covenant, because obedience was impossible. Jesus is the one who covered that condition for us through his perfect obedience. So, yes, technically it is a condition of this covenant, but it was fulfilled by God himself, who became man in order that we could be free from the impossible burden of obedience. All of our works and our striving for holiness and righteousness is a response to the completed work of Christ that brought us universally and unconditionally into a covenant of salvation. All we have to do is to acknowledge this covenant and live into it. So the flood, it didn't solve the problem, but it did accomplish God's purpose for it. It pointed us to what we justly deserve for our sinfulness and wickedness, which is death, but it also gave us a glimpse of how, by unmerited grace, through water, mediated by an unconditional covenant, God would ultimately fix the defective hardware and restore creation to its proper order. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.